Hello, and welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. It's Wednesday, March 18th, and I'm your host, Dr. Lanier, and we air the show every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen in live, or you can tune in whenever it's convenient for you, as all of these shows are archived. For more information on me and the services I offer, please go to my website, which is www.drdiolanier.com, and spelled out, that's www.drdiolanier.com. We are continuing with our Health and Wellness in the News series, and last week we discussed stress management and focused on the article, Finding Balance, Valuable Tips for the Stressed and Busy, that I found on about.com. Today we're going to talk about the importance of recess and physical activity of all types for children, and especially in young children. Now, the article that I'm focusing on today was found in Pediatrics from February 2009, so not long ago. And Pediatrics is the official journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics, of which I am a member. And this article is called School Recess and Group Classroom Behavior, and it was done by Dr. Barros, Dr. Silver, and Dr. Stein, and they are from the Department of Pediatrics at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, as well as the Children's Hospital at Montefiore and Rose F. Kennedy Center in Bronx, New York. So when we're talking about not only recess, but physical activity of all types for children, especially in young children, it's important for us to remember that play is widely recognized as an important aspect of child development. So when children are playing freely, they increase their imagination and their creativity. Children, if you ever watch them, they are in there organizing their own games, they develop their own rules, and they learn problem-solving skills, and they practice leadership as well and can take turns for the most part when they're doing that. So it's important for kids to make sure, for adults to make sure that children, especially young children, have that opportunity to play. A report from the American Academy of Pediatrics states that free, unstructured play is very healthy, and it's essential to help children reach certain social, emotional, and cognitive or thinking developmental milestones, and it can also help them manage stress and become resilient. So children need free play not only at home but also in school. And the time that is assigned for children to have free play is typically known as recess. And that's defined as a break during the school day that allows children the time for active free play. And I think a key component that we should keep in mind of recess is that it is unstructured and undirected. So that means that kids should just be allowed to do, you know, not whatever they want, but just within reason and according to the rules of the classroom, but they should be able to play in whatever way they see fit, and it should be undirected, and you're allowing the children to play as they would like at that particular time. And according to the National Association for Sports and Physical Education, or NASPE, school recess should be provided at least once a day for 20 minutes or more, preferably, at a time. So recess is really a good thing to have because it provides children with that discretionary time, and it also gives them opportunity to be physically active. And we know that inactivity is a major risk factor for childhood health problems. And we also know, and if you don't, I'll tell you now, that active children usually will grow up to become active adults. In addition to being a break from the day's routine, recess also, and I think this is a really important point, allows for a mental change and a release of energy for the children. And it also can have a benefit on classroom behavior. So students are more attentive to the academic tasks or the lessons that are being taught, and they're also less fidgety in the classroom after that they've had recess. And I think that's something that's also important to point out. There were three studies that they talked about in this article, and those studies focus directly on the effects of recess on the children's performance, school performance, and they found that in general, students were better able to focus attention on the teacher and on assigned tasks after they had recess. So the first study looked at, and it was a small study, but it looked at a small group of fourth graders, and it looked at them for 14 weeks. And their attentiveness, or how they were able to pay attention, and how fidgety they were both before and after recess were documented. And they noticed that children became more fidgety and less attentive when recess was delayed. A second study also showed that students were less attentive before recess than after recess, and were more inattentive or less attentive when recess was delayed for longer amounts of time. Now, the third study that they looked at was conducted in a school that didn't have recess at all. And so what they did was they allowed two of the fourth grade classes, they were given recess on a random schedule, and then they looked at how attentive the children were and how fidgety they became both before and after recess. And they found that the majority of students were more attentive and less fidgety after recess. So when we look at, in a scientific realm, when we look at studies, we want to see if, okay, the results in this study, if you can apply them to larger groups. And that's called, interpreting the study. So with an article like this and these studies that they looked at, you can interpret it with caution because, as I mentioned, there were very small groups of children at individual schools. But I think it is important to point out that they have noticed it, and you may have noticed it in your own life. I notice it on a rainy day when the kids aren't able to expend as much energy as they can. My children, they're not paying as much as attention. They definitely are fidgety and antsy. So you may have noticed that, in your own life, if you have small children, that is definitely the case. So there was a study conducted by the Institute for Social Research at the University of Michigan, and that showed that, since the late 1970s, so it's been, it'll be more than 30 years at this point, children have lost 12 hours per week of free time. Now that, if you just sit and think about it for a minute, 12 hours of free time is a huge amount in a week that we have lost for young children today. And that includes a 25% decrease in play as well as a 50% decrease in unstructured outdoor activity. So just being able to go outside and play. And I recall, and you may recall as well, in your youth, just being able to just go out. And I know for either after school or on the weekends or definitely for summer break, we would just be able to go out, and of course we had to check in very frequently, but we'd be able to play in the neighborhood, and we had to make sure that we were back on the porch by the time the street lights were on. And of course that was a much different time than it is now, but we had lots of opportunities to explore the environment, play, and develop those social skills that include playing with our peers, our other young people. So right now, many school children are given less free time and fewer physical outlets at school, and that is because many school districts have responded to the No Child Left Behind Act of 2001. So in order to better meet those requirements, they reduce time committed to recess and the creative arts like music and art, and even physical education in an effort to focus on reading and mathematics for those requirements of No Child Left Behind. The study that was in pediatrics showed that this trend really, really disproportionately affects children that come from disadvantaged backgrounds. And this kind of speaks to health disparities as it relates to certain things. But they found that children who did not receive scheduled recess at school were more likely to be from lower economic families and from Black and Hispanic ethnic groups. And that really, aside from being a health disparity or a disparity, in general, it really raises a concern because there is some evidence that shows that many children from disadvantaged backgrounds aren't free to just kind of go around the neighborhood like I was and maybe you were when you were younger. Or some can't even really go in their backyards unless they're accompanied by adults for safety issues. So for many of these children, recess periods in school may be the only opportunity for them to have that physical activity and to practice those social skills with other children. That speaks to one area of the problem. Another area would be childhood health problems caused by inactivity or underactivity, and that really is and continues to be a growing problem in the U.S. Again, since the 1970s, the prevalence of obesity among children has more than doubled in children ages 2 to 5 years of age, so that's that preschool age of children, right up into children going into kindergarten. And it's also doubled for adolescents, so 12 to 19 years of age, that teenage time period, the amount has doubled. And then it's more than tripled in children ages 6 to 11 in the elementary and some leading to middle school years. So children spend a large majority of their day in school. And so recess and physical education provide the opportunity for physical activity that they have. The NASPE, or the National Association for Sports and Physical Education, has guidelines. The NASPE has guidelines that suggest that children between the ages of 5 to 12 years of age should have 60 minutes or more of physical activity per day, and periods that are 2 hours or more where they're inactive are really discouraged, especially for younger children, but for children in general. You want them to be doing some type of activity during that time frame, so not just sitting or doing nothing for long periods of time. So in addition to that, recess is really important in classroom management and for behavior guidance. We talked about the studies showing that a recess may have a benefit for overall group classroom behavior, but it really does provide a release for children. And it's a different type of release even from just, you know, if you're changing, say you're going through school, and if you have a young child, if you go from one topic, like now we're doing kind of math skills to moving on to centers, like dress up or blocks or something, or if they're an older child going from different topics or changing the class topic, still does not offer a mental change for them or a physical release. And even if you have something where physical activity is involved, like a formal structured physical education class, even that still does not offer the same benefits as a recess because, like I mentioned, it's a change in the mental switch as well as the physical release. They're able to just kind of let loose and be free for just a little bit of time. So there is evidence from Asian schools that suggests that children's attention to classwork is maximized when structured time is relatively short and is followed by breaks. So in most Asian elementary schools, students are given a 10-minute break after every 40 to 50 minutes of instructional time, depending on what grade they're in. In this study that I'm talking about, the overall group classroom behavior ratings, which were done by the teacher, didn't really differ significantly when they looked at the frequency of recess or the time of that was allowed for recess, the duration of the recess. So that suggested for them that group classroom behavior is better among those that's provided even with one daily recess for greater than 15 minutes in length. That was found to be beneficial for those classrooms. And I think another thing that's helpful is that teachers who have classes that have recess might feel differently about the behavior of the students in their classrooms because they may also benefit from having a break or having that recess. I'm not sure. I don't think I've mentioned it on the program, but I teach the children's church at our church. And so I'm in there giving them the lesson, and I really notice this. They get a little antsy, and their attention span is fades relatively quickly if they don't have breaks built in. So we have recess even there, and I found it to be very helpful in my experience as well. If you are just tuning in, I want to thank you so much for joining me. You're listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dia Lanier. Thanks again for listening in. We are talking about health and wellness in the news, and we are specifically talking about recess and different forms of physical activity and how important that is for children in general and especially young children. So going back to the article, there was a recent report from the American Academy of Pediatrics that stated that every child deserves the opportunity to develop his or her unique potential. And for myself, I know as a child advocate, I really you think that I, as we all, need to consider all factors that interfere with that child developing optimally. And so we should really press for situations that are going to allow each child to gain the full advantages that are associated with play. I talked about those social benefits, but there are many other benefits as well. And as a pediatrician, I do have an opportunity to promote free play as an essential part of childhood. But as a parent or even as a concerned adult, you too can really speak with the schools and the boards and different people as it's necessary to make sure that play is being included not only in the elementary school level and other school levels, but in preschool as well, because play really is necessary for healthy development and for optimal brain development, especially in younger children, those preschool age children. And so you can advocate for free play in schools as well as in after-school programs. And then as parents, you can learn more about recess and physical activity that are provided by the schools. If you're looking to enroll your child, especially if they're preschool and they're getting ready to start kindergarten, that is a good question to ask to make sure, well, what, you know, do you have recess every day? How long is the recess? How often is the physical education? And just some other things. Even the creative arts are important for me, music and art. And so that when I'm looking, you know, into the school for my children, I want to make sure that those areas, they have, classes in those areas and that they are not being cut so that children can get the break that they need so that they can focus when it's necessary on academics and still have a little bit of a release in one way or another. So that was the article in Pediatrics, and I actually came across some other things that looked at being physically active and how important that is for young people. This one is from the PBS Teacher Source, and it talked about being physically active for life. And we did discuss about how our culture has changed and how we were once very physically active, but now our society actually discourages physical activity to some degree, and maybe not purposefully, but just in the no child left behind, kind of taking some things away to focus on academics, and even up to the way that our communities are structured, and they're centered more on driving and, the automobile, and you don't see much in terms of walking and bicycling as much as you used to for children for a variety of reasons. And another important thing to mention, I do understand that, is the concerns about safety for children. And all of those add up to children spending less time playing outside. There is another factor that fits into this physical activity component, and that is technology. Having television and computers and handheld children's electronic games, all of those condition young people to be less physically active. So what I mean by that is if you're used to playing this game and sitting there or sitting at the computer and you know, looking that, or even if they're a little bit older and they happen to have a phone, just sitting and texting or whatever it is young people do, it tends to be a lot more sedentary than it's been in the past. And so a good recommendation for that would be to limit the time. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends 2 hours or less of screen time per day, and that includes all screens. So that's a television screen, that's a computer screen, a video game screen. You know, all of that should be less than 2 hours per day if they are 2 years and older. And for children who are younger than two, they actually recommend that they do not have any screen time or limit it a small amounts, and prefer face-to-face interaction for children who are our toddler age children in that young age group. So anyway, that can condition young people to be less physically active. Another thing is that schools provide less time for physical activity that we talked about. But in addition to schools, there's also the communities that may be falling a little bit short. And some may not have invested in close-to-home recreational facilities like parks and recreation centers that can allow children to come in or families to come in and be physically active close to home at a low cost or even no cost if it's a park. So we, as I mentioned, children who are physically active have a greater chance of being healthy for a lifetime. And it's also important to note that physical activity, daily physical activity, really helps build and maintain healthy bones, muscle, and joints, which are important in people in general, but especially children. It helps to control weight and to build lean muscle and reduce fat. Also, it can reduce feelings of depression and anxiety. So kids, especially in this day and age, they also have, you know, can feel anxious and experience stress in different ways. And so being physically active can help them with that and provide a release for them with that as well. And another thing is that, and I mentioned a little bit, but it helps the students' capacity for learning. When parents are looking around for some place to at schools or preschools, it is important to know that children learn through moving through their environment. So whatever environment they are in, they learn from it. So whether it's inside making up games and using their imagination, it's outside, they learn from that, and this influences their development. I mentioned cognitive and social development in terms of interacting with other children, but it also influences their language and their emotional areas of development as well. So school programs that focus on providing those type of programs, especially for preschoolers, because most elementary schools and up have something that contributes to that. But preschool children, daycares and preschools may not have something that's formal, so that's something important to look into, a physical activity curriculum, as well as learning activities that are provided by the center or the preschool so that children can do what they normally do, and that's go around being physically active. The kids really enjoy it. They enjoy being physically active, and that's influenced just by being children. They like to move and go around for the most part, but also it's influenced by adults. So if you have an adult who's knowledgeable and competent and can guide their physical activity, especially when they're at school, that helps children enjoy being physically active. And also, if you give the children the opportunity to choose activities that are most appealing to them. So a lot of times with recess, they'll have lots of things available. If it's done on a, at school and they have a playground available, they may want to do the swings. They may want to climb on monkey bars or do a little slide. They may have balls that they can play toss or catch with their friends or hula hoops. And so there may be other things available that allow the children to do what's appealing to them. And I think that's important as well, to make sure that they have the opportunity to do that. Another thing that's important is making sure that it is developmentally appropriate, the physical activity. And again, this is speaking more towards young children. In most cases, children learn by doing, and once they do something and they achieve a goal that you set for them, or if they've done it successfully, they feel really good about themselves, and it builds on their confidence. So if you're teaching them something like how to kick a ball or catch a ball, it takes a while before they learn that, but when they do, they feel really good about it, and they want to continue being physically active in all the ways that they're able to be physically active. There actually was one study that looked at preschools in Columbia, South Carolina, and this included different types of preschools, like church-based and private programs, as well as Head Start programs. And they actually put accelerometers on the children, which are a small activity monitor for about 4 hours a day. And researchers also watched the children's activities. And the information for that was published in a November Pediatrics a few years ago. And they found that the children did, about 7 minutes an hour of moderate to vigorous activity, and it was often done in blocks of time when the children were outside. They also found that boys were more likely to participate in moderate or vigorous activity than girls were, and that tended to be consistent for at all age groups. So, it's interesting that you observed that even when they were young. And then children ages 4 to 5 were more likely to be sedentary and had fewer times of light activity, like walking slowly, than 3-year-olds did. That's important to note that a lot of those children got most of that physical activity when they were outside. And it points to the matter that if children aren't getting enough physical activity in school, then it's likely that they may not get the remaining activity when they go home. And so that makes it important for us to encourage parents to make sure that the children are physically active at home as well. I have one last thing to point out to you. This was in a 10 Myths About Preschool Fitness Debunked by Michelle Silence, who I worked with in the past at KidFit, Preschool Physical Education. And she pointed out that, and I think it is important for us to consider, that free play is different from structured physical education programs. So free play, there's individual expression of movement, and it's determined by each child. And a structured program should have skills and fitness goals built into it. For example, how to catch a ball or how to kick a ball or something of that nature. Also, the child's brain needs physical activity. And I pointed out that they have stress and that they're able to relieve that with physical activity. But I think it's important to consider that when those stress chemicals remain in the brain for the long time, the body can break down, and so the immune system doesn't work as well, and illness can occur, as well as other problems. And then if you don't have exercise, the brain circuitry becomes a little altered, so the brain connections, and so thought processes change, and children can function without adequate impulse control. And so that's definitely important. We want our children to be able to control their actions so that they can learn to the best of their ability. So I really hope that information was helpful for you. And I just want to remind you that the information presented on this program is for education and motivation purposes only. Please consult your personal physician or other healthcare professional before starting, changing, or discontinuing any treatment. I want to thank you again for joining me today. Please tune in next week when we will continue with our health and wellness in the news. And you can also catch me this evening on the PCOS Challenge with Sasha Odie, Polycystic Ovarian Syndrome, and we'll be there talking about that treatment in teens this evening at 6 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. I look forward to speaking with you next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, remember to be healthy and God bless.